Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry dedicated to proclaiming, defending, and living essential Christian teachings and practices because life and truth matter. Within the midst of battling the evil of Nazism, British Prime Minister Winston Churchill said, "Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few." Churchill's words ring true today as we celebrate Memorial Day here in the United States, a day to honor those who, in the words of Abraham Lincoln, gave the last full measure of devotion in their sacrifice for freedom. Hank and the entire staff here at the Christian Research Institute offer our deepest respect, honor, and thankfulness for all who have served to protect and defend the freedoms we enjoy in this country. The following program was pre-recorded. Here's the host of The Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. We have so many of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Sarah, listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Sarah.
I have a question about entire sanctification. I'm looking into it, and while I don't believe that is valid, I can't find any black and white scripture that disproved that theory. So I was just wondering if you could kind of elaborate.
Sure. I mean, to be perfect in a biblical sense means that you mirror the very image of Jesus Christ himself. And that's something that will take place in heaven, but certainly it will not take place in this time-space continuum. We know that all are sinners. Even the great apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament epistles, considered himself a sinner. And he said, "Who can save me from this body of death?" And recognized that his redemption is in Jesus Christ. So throughout the Bible, we are commanded to confess our sins and know that he is faithful and just. He will forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, yeah, we, as long as we're in the body, are those who will continue to sin in thought, word, and deed. No one will be perfect until the time that Jesus appears a second time. And at that time, the problem of sin and Satan will forever be resolved.
So then why is there a denomination that believes and preaches that this is possible?
Well, I think because they're very, very significantly misreading the biblical text, taking texts out of context. Because what is very clear in Scripture are passages like 1 John 1:8. If we claim to be without sin, John says we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. So I don't know how you get any clearer than an apostle in the inner circle of Jesus Christ, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to say, if you say you have no sin, you're simply fooling yourself.
Perfect. All right, well, thank you. I appreciate your clarification.
You got it, Sarah. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Kika, listening in Charlotte, North Carolina, WHVN. Hi, Kika.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. I thank God for you. You've really been able to answer questions that I've been struggling with. So your broadcast is really a godsend. So my question is, if we are made in God's image, a way that I have reconciled it in my head and actually talked to someone about, I'll admit that this is something that I came up with on my own, is that just as God is spirit and Christ is body and God is, you know, the ultimate mind, that we're made mind, body, and spirit in his image as well. Is that erroneous in my thought? I struggled with understanding the Trinity, but it made sense to me when I thought of us as a Trinity in his image in that way.
Well, here's the thing, Kika. I have been trying to find an analogy for the Trinity for many, many years, and probably 20 or 25 years ago, I gave up. I remember making just these really elaborate diagrams. I have one in the front of one of my Bibles. And I thought after many, many years of looking at all kinds of analogies, I'd finally found the perfect one. And it was the universe, because universe means turning into one, and the universe is time, space, and matter. And each one of them is a trinity of sorts. And so I thought, oh, I've got it. And I started working on this diagram, and I had it all, I mean, just beautifully illustrated in the front of my Bible. And I thought, this is what I'm going to use to explain to people the perfect analogy for the Trinity. Well, upon further examination, loose ends were popping out all over the place. And I can tell you, after many years of ministry, I finally come to the right conclusion, which is that there is no illustration that suffices for the triune God. And so instead of being philosophically driven, I simply bow my knee before God's revelation of himself to me. It's something that I can apprehend because the scripture is clear about it, but it isn't anything that I can comprehend. So I simply realize that God is one what and three who's, which is to say he is one God by virtue of his essence, and he's three by virtue of his persons. And persons has to do with subject-object distinctions within the Godhead.
Right. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Have a good one, Hank.
You too. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Mark. He's listening in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Mark.
Hello. How are you, Hank?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, I have kind of two questions, but they're interrelated.
Mm-hmm.
I recently found Christ. One son has followed me, but my wife and other son have not. So I wanted to know about witnessing. And then the other is that my wife is opposed to sharing funds with the church or with, tithes or offerings of other sorts. Just wanted to see what you thought on that.
Well, the first thing I would say is prayer. Prayer is firing the winning shot. Oftentimes, it's very, very difficult for you to be the very person who is going to make the difference in your family. God will send someone else along. There's so much emotion, there's so much packed into family relationships that it's oftentimes hard to witness to our family members by our lips. So what I would recommend is prayer and then testifying to them by your changed life and by the love, the true biblical sense of love, a deep and abiding commitment. So it's not just a transient feeling, it's a commitment. And that kind of love, that kind of testimony of life oftentimes will reach far deeper than anything you can say. It will perhaps even open up the opportunity to communicate verbally a testimony of your faith as well. But let your light so shine before your family that they may see your good deeds and praise the Lord. Praise the God that is in you. Praise the majestic one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. As far as giving is concerned, it's important that you do what is right in your own conscience before God. And don't let this be a stumbling block to your family. God doesn't need your money. God needs your life so that you hold everything you have with an open hand. He can take out and put in as he sees fit. He sees a heart that is willing to take your treasure, time, and talent and use it for his glory, and that is sufficient. If God gives you the opportunity to do this without dividing your family, wonderful. But if it becomes divisive, I think what's most important in God's economy is your willing heart and the testimony of your life so that your family might be transformed.
Thank you. That is very comforting. And as a side note, I had been an atheist for a very long time and actually flipped on the radio and heard you speaking and led to questions in that night found Jesus. So you're doing very good work.
Oh, bless you, Mark. Thank you so much for that testimony. It makes all the work worthwhile.
All right. Well, have a good day.
You as well. Before you go, let me pray for your family. Father, thank you for Mark and for how he's come out of atheism to know you as Lord and Savior. I pray now, Lord, for his family. Oh, Lord, I pray that you will bring people and circumstances to bear upon their lives so that the joy and peace that Mark has experienced, is experienced, will experience, may be theirs as well. Lord, we pray this, not vainly muttering into the air, but knowing that even now you are listening. And we pray this in the name of our precious Savior, who is the one that can bridge the divide between our unholiness and your perfection. Again, we pray this not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. Bless Mark. May he be a testimony to your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be right back.
If the word Trinity isn't in Scripture, why is it such an important part of our faith? If the Bible is frequently misinterpreted, how do we know which interpretation is correct? These are tough questions, but the early church fathers offer clarity. In When the Church Was Young, Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio presents poignant portrayals of the lives and teachings of the early church fathers from the early days of Christianity when the church truly was young. To receive your copy of When the Church Was Young, Voices of the Early Fathers, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Because questions remain about the earliest moments of the universe, scientists offer speculative alternatives to our universe having an actual beginning. Nevertheless, the science that is known to be true provides abundant evidence that the universe came into being a finite time ago, just as the Bible teaches. Other topics include how Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers, Christian apologetics in a nutshell, John Chrysostom, the Golden Mouth Preacher, Christian imagination and the problem of horrendous evil, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.
As a consequence of our ignorance concerning Christian history, writes Bruce Shelley, we find believers vulnerable to the appeals of cultists. Some distortion of Christianity is often taken for the real thing. So warns Dr. Shelley in his contemporary classic, Church History in Plain Language. With vivid stories of major persons in the church's history and concise explanations of key movements, Church History in Plain Language makes the story of Christianity clear, memorable, and accessible to everyone, and reveals the great kingdom work flourishing in the world today. It's a fast-paced tour through 2,000 years of history that reads like a novel, yet there is no fiction here. To receive your copy of Church History in Plain Language, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Patrick, listening in Seattle, Washington. Hi, Patrick.
Yeah, hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I'm reading through Genesis, and I'm noticing that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all of them were lying, you know, Abraham about his wife, I think Isaac, same thing, and then Jacob lying about being the firstborn. And my question is, why is God blessing these people when He hates liars and He hates deceit?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And the answer to that question is God uses broken people. He uses imperfect people. If that were not the case, He would not be using me because I'm a broken, imperfect person. It's really always a matter of the heart. You look at Cain and Abel. Cain's disposition of the heart was constantly against the Lord. Abel's was a heart that yearned after God. Same thing with David. David was involved in horrendous sins, and yet his heart longed after God like the deer pants for the water brook. So it is a disposition of the heart. And so when we sin and we contritely confess our sins, He forgives us of our sins, and then He condescends to use us. God knew Abraham's heart better than anyone else knew Abraham's heart. And though he sinned and fell many times, he turned back to his Maker. And this is the condition of all of humanity. If you're looking for a perfect person for God to use, none exists. Only Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect life that we could never live, and offers us His perfection as an absolutely free gift. But if you look at the Faith Hall of Fame, Hebrews chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews says, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. So his perspective was always one of eternity as opposed to having a mean earthly perspective.
Great. Thank you very much. That clears up a whole bunch for me because I'm reading through this and I'm thinking, man, this doesn't make sense to me, but you made complete sense. Thank you very much.
Hey, you got it. When you get a chance, read Hebrews chapter 11. I think it'll further illumine.
I will do that.
Bless you, Patrick. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Karen next, Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Could you tell me about Edgar Cayce? Was he a religious man? Why was he able to see things?
Sure. He was an alleged clairvoyant. And he established the Association for Research and Enlightenment. And he did that because he wanted to promote his spiritual readings. And his teachings and practices were rooted in occult mysticism. And in that way, very antithetical to biblical Christianity. He attended church. He read the Bible. However, He was deeply into these occult mystical practices, and he purportedly fell into trances, and in those trances was able to convey information about the diagnosis and treatment of illnesses and so forth. But the claims he made were outlandish and didn't correspond to reality. So this is a classic example of the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. It had a sense of biblical Christianity, but when you dug under the skin, you'd see a pernicious lie.
Okay. I was just wondering, because I remember when I was a child, a lot of people were reading his book, like in the early 70s and stuff. So I was just wondering about him. So thank you.
You're welcome. You know, he once claimed that he actually penned the book of Acts in a previous life, and he taught that Adam was reincarnated in Melchizedek, and then Joshua, and then later Christ. And he made all kinds of unsubstantiated claims about Jesus' life, indicating that he learned about prophecy as a teenager from an Essene, that he was raised in Capernaum, rather than Nazareth. He proposed that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was born of a virgin, as was Jesus, and that God has no knowledge of future events, even though he claimed to foresee the state of California would be lost in the ocean during the 70s, which obviously didn't come to pass. So he's making all kinds of false claims about Jesus Christ, about biblical Christianity, and then he makes prophecies. The prophecies don't come to pass. And there's the irony. The Bible can be trusted because the Bible is replete with prophecies. They're made and fulfilled. Thus God can say, I told you these things before they happened, so when they happen, you might believe. Or in the words of Jesus Christ, I told you now before it happened, so that when it does happen, you will believe. The point being that you can trust biblical revelations, but the Edgar Cayces of the world would make prophecies, and those prophecies were not fulfilled, demonstrating that they were false prophets. And this is the trap that so many people fall in today. They have this sense that they can fulfill the future or predict what's going to happen in the future. And the truth of the matter is, God does not tell us what is going to happen in the future. He has told us things that would happen in the future so that we might believe, but he's not telling us what is going to happen in the future. We have a book that we can now trust, a book by which we can test all things, hold fast to that which is good. And that's what we place our trust in, not the Edgar Cayces of the world. And there are many like him. This is one of the pernicious problems of our age. People who distort the truth. And they not only blur, but they obliterate the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. We'll talk next to Gary in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Hank. My question is, I know he's passed away, but Norman Vincent Paley, what's your thoughts on his teachings? And I read a couple of his books, I guess The Power of Positive Thinking.
Yeah, he, Norman Vincent Peale, was part of the human potential movement. And so his books reflect that. Guideposts, his magazine reflected that, although there were good articles in Guideposts. But as a whole, he was communicating a human potential dynamic as opposed to a biblical worldview. And his teachings are at times incompatible with the very plain and main things of Scripture. He denied the biblical teaching that those who die without Christ are going to be eternally punished, and many other such things. In fact, in terms of his philosophy, he wrote that there is no disease from which prayer cannot bring deliverance. One reason disease devastates us is because we accept it as inevitable. I believe in the power of Jesus Christ to resolve any difficulty, to remove any weakness, to heal any disease. Well, certainly I would say Jesus can heal diseases and does. But the reality is the power of human potential cannot remove disease from this time-space continuum. in this world, we are going to suffer the ravages of sin. And the death rate is always going to be one per person. Everyone's going to make it, as did Norman Vincent Peale. He also, by a very crude inference with the laws of divine abundance, said that poverty was defeated and that you could have health and wealth in this world, unlimited. You just have to have the right formula. You have to have the positive feeling and the positive expression. But the reality is, there are a lot of people in biblical times that we find in the Faith Hall of Fame who suffered incredible woes, but yet they look forward not to a world without woe, but a world that is to come in which there'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So Norman Vincent Peale was delightful in many different ways, but he taught a human potential gospel that is very different from the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Well, thank you, Hank.
You got it. My pleasure. Thanks so much for your call. We have my appreciation for those that stand shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach in the battle for life and truth. What you're doing really does make a difference, not only for time, but also for eternity. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers. Counter to our intuitions, Dante depicts sinners as eager to enter the inferno, for hell promises to give them exactly what they want, their sin and themselves forever. Other topics include, did the universe really have a beginning? Christian apologetics in a nutshell. Christianity and the origins of hospitals and modern medicine. The indomitable human spirit of Philip K. Dick. Why arguments over fetal pain capability ultimately miss the mark in the abortion debate, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.